For HBO's True Detective Night Country, the case is closed and the mystery is mostly solved. How was it? Let's talk about it, but first.
Let us begin.
Cheers, everybody. Welcome to Brewstilled. I'm your host, Brandon, and for this episode of Brewstilled, I'll be recapping Episode 6 of HBO's True Detective Night Country, the Season 4 finale. The mystery is now over, and the case is solved, but a few lingering mysteries still remain, and I'll be talking about that here in Brewstilled as a recap Episode 6 of the Season 4 finale for HBO's True Detective Night Country for what has been an amazing season. Before I begin, though, what beer am I pairing for this episode of Brewstilled and for the Season 4 finale of HBO True Detective Night Country? That beer comes to us from, well, Alaska. I first started recapping True Detective with a beer from Alaska from Alaskan Brewing Company, and for this edition, this beer comes to us from Anchorage Brewing Company, and it's called The Trickster, which is a hazy IPA, which is an imperial hazy IPA with some nice citrusy flavors to it and a nice orange glow. For Trickster, it's brewed with Strata, CGX, and Cryptogenic Lupulin hops, and it's also double dry hopped as well, making for a very well-crafted hazy double IPA that is also imperial style from Anchorage Brewing Company in Alaska. I thought to recap the finale with a beer from Alaska, as Alaska really does have a great beer scene, so I thought it made more sense to recap the finale and pair it with a nice excellent IPA from Alaska. For Trickster, has a nice flavor to it, a nice citrusy and fruity flavor with a nice head on top and a nice orange hazy glow. For the ABV, it comes at 8.4%, and also given how the season played out with the mystery, the twists and turns, all these clues that really led us to some rabbit holes, I felt there was some trickery at play with the season of True Detective, and for Night Country, it played an excellent role in the mystery, and it turns out how the story unfolded, so I thought, why not pair with a beer from Alaska, particularly one called The Trickster, as there was some trickery at play with this mystery in the season of True Detective, which is by far amazing. So check that beer out, The Trickster from Anchorage Brewing Company in Alaska, a nice hazy IPA that is also brewed with some excellent hops, and also a fine product of Alaska's craft beer scene. So here it goes with a recap of the Season 4 finale of HBO's True Detective Night Country. If you've not seen the show, and you want to watch the show, do not proceed forward, because there will be spoilers. Ready? Well, here we go. For HBO's True Detective Night Country Episode 6, the Season 4 finale, the episode begins amidst a winter storm. Danvers and Navarro enter the caves after arrival from Episode 5. As they enter the caves, they see blockage at one of the main entryways, blocking them from entering the cave, just like what happened back in Episode 5. However, they see an opening on the side that could be a different pathway towards their destination. Navarro wants to enter through the blockade, as proceed despite Danvers' warning. For Navarro, she wants to enter through that crack in the wall and to get around the blockade, and proceeds there despite Danvers' warning. Not long afterwards, they fall through into the ground into a lower level of the cave and are now stranded there. But Navarro also senses a presence, causing friction with Danvers, who is also skeptic of the supernatural abilities that Navarro probably has. Navarro then spots Clark, the missing scientist who's been missing for these past few episodes. It turns out he's alive. Navarro spots him, and they chase him into the tunnel. They lose track of Clark, but they discover an underground laboratory that's just below the Sasal research facility. Navarro and Danvers then find a spiral symbol that's carved into the wall, the very same symbol that's carved in Annie K, and also seen throughout the entire season. They also discover a secret passageway that's up a ladder, discovering that leads to the Sasal research facility that they're underground all along, with the facility right above them. And we finally now know why Kate, the Mayan executive, did not want Danvers and Navarro to find this cave, because it leads them back to the Sal research facility where scientists are working, and also where he vanished from. As the inspector now abandoned the Sal research facility, Clark attacks him, but they soon overpower him. Danvers and Navarro then interrogate Clark by having him listen to Annie's last video, leaving him alone with the video. Clark then confesses that they killed Annie Kay after Annie discovered a secret operation that the scientists are working on to find a DNA of a microorganism frozen in the permafrost at the DeSalle Research Facility, which is easily discovered and accessible because of the pollution caused by the Silver Sky Mining Facility. Through faking the records of the pollution from the mining, the scientists then found a microorganism they were seeking with the help from the pollution from the mine that would make the work much easier. Clark also denies being the person who attacked Annie Kay in her final video. Instead, he tells Danvers and Navarro the rest of scientists and Lund, who was her head scientist, were responsible for Annie Kay's murder after he found her destroying their underground research facility and also their collections of samples of the DNA from the microorganism. She says she snuck in and found their work and the connections to the pollution. Afterwards, in a bit of rage, the scientists ganged up on Annie Kay and murdered her, and Clark also finished her off. It's a very graphic scene, very hard to watch, but also answers the question who killed Annie Kay, which was a scientist all along. Going back to Pete, he disposes of the bodies of Hank and Otis with help from Rose by throwing them into the frozen outskirts. Back at the facility, Danvers and Navarro then reflect in the Wheeler case, and it's revealed in a flashback that it was Navarro who shot and killed Wheeler. While Danvers suggested that she was going to do it herself, Navarro was the one who did it all along. They then go back to Clark, who admits that Annie's spirit returned to kill the scientists on the night of their disappearance, prompting him to hide in the passageway and also underground for the past few weeks of the investigation, and that was also him the delivery guy saw wander facility on the night they were found missing, and also back from episode 1. An angry Navarro then gets Clark to walk outside, leading to Clark to freeze to death in the cold winter's night. This angers Danvers, as Clark was her only witness. Danvers and Navarro then struggle to keep themselves safe at the station, as the power's been cut off, and the temperature gets colder and colder. For Navarro, she begins to hear voices again, and the visions of being back in the desert, even going as far to see Clark again. Danvers and Navarro then have a heated argument, causing Navarro to walk off into the outskirts of the facility, with Navarro imagining reuniting with Julia. Danvers then heads out to look for Navarro, and she tries to help her and get her to come back to the facility, and tries to get her to come back over and over again, but Navarro does not listen. Danvers then gets a vision of her own, of her now-deceased son, being trapped under beneath the ice, which is all through imagination, or probably supernatural occurrence. The ice then shatters, and Danvers falls through if she almost dies by freezing to death, until Navarro pulls her out and takes her back to the facility to recover. After recovering, Navarro tells Danvers she saw her past son and wanted to tell her that he sees her. After a storm passes, and Danvers recovered from the falling through the ice, Navarro opens up to Danvers about her own struggles. When Navarro mentions the hatch in the passageway, Danvers has a revelation. Danvers goes back to the hatch and uses UV lights to find fingerprints on the hatch where Clark was hiding underground, showing that multiple people tried to open the hatch and who were also not the missing scientist. Danvers and Navarro then recognize the prints as belonging to the female employees of the cell who were also the cleaning crew. Danvers and Navarro then head out of the facility to question the female employees who all share a home. Danvers and Navarro then arrive to question employees, and the employees reveal that they discovered the hatch and it was also them who broke into the facility. They also tell Danvers and Navarro they're also well aware of the underground laboratory under the cell. But also, they say they never told the police because they felt nothing would change. According to the story, the employees came on the night the scientists disappeared and held the scientists by gunpoint and forced them to run to the outskirts leading to their death, believing the ghost of Annie Kay would handle them. This also explains how the scientists were found back at the end of episode 1. The women are also asked about Annie Kay's tongue being found at the facility. They then tell Danvers and Navarro that it's just another story, and that tongue is also not part of their story. Danvers and Navarro then decide to officially deem the scientists' case being deemed an accident by death by accident, closing the case. The episode then flashes forward to May 12th, after a long winter. We now see daylight in Ennis. Danvers is still the police chief at Ennis, and is also questioned by internal affairs over Hank's disappearance. She tells him that Hank killed Otis, and that the police are still looking for Hank, although we know that Pete killed Hank. As for Navarro, she vanished after leaving Ennis. We see Navarro walking into the outskirts of the wilderness all by herself, showing she's probably on a different journey and also no longer a police officer. And also she leaves behind Clark's confession on video, which also once revealed, which also leads to the closing of Silver Sky Mining to be closed down due to the pollution and hazards it's caused. Danvers and Leia then also reconcile, and Pete also now spends more time with his family. When Danvers is asked about his sightings in Navarro, here she replies, "This is Ennis. Nobody ever really leaves." We then see Danvers on the road with Leia going to an unknown destination. meditation as in how he found peace. D'Ambrose is then seen on the porch looking out over a lake with Navarro standing on the opposite side of the porch on the right side, and that's how the episode ends. So, this was actually a pretty good finale, actually. I liked how it ended. It had a nice, peaceful ending to it, as Danvers and Navarro are now at peace in their own ways, and I'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But also, some things were left a mystery, and one of them is the tongue. How did Andy Kay's tongue get at the facility, and who left it there? We'll never know. And, just like what Danvers said at the finale when she's being interrogated by those guys from Internal Affairs, some questions don't have answers. And that there's one of them, in terms of Andy Kay's tongue being at the facility. We don't know how it got there or who left it there, and that there is gonna be a lingering mystery for the season. I don't have any theories of how it got there, but I definitely do believe it's probably more supernatural. I think that there's Annie reaching out from beyond in order for those who are working on her case to solve her case. I think it was more supernatural in terms of how it got there, and it was probably gotten there by Annie Kay's ghost. That there's my main theory as for the season, as the writers did explain, both the psychological side and the supernatural side exist in this role of True Detective. So I say it stands to reason that Annie's tongue got at the facility by more supernatural cause and supernatural entity, probably by her ghost herself. For the other one, was this mystery based more on supernatural or the more rational psychological side? I think that there is open-ended, just as been explained. It's up to the viewer to decide if this was a supernatural mystery or a psychological one. Based on my interpretation of this, I think this here is more supernatural, more paranormal. I think that there, based on my observations, based on what I saw in this season, and what Navarro saw with her visions, and Danvers and the one-eyed polar bear stuffed toy, I think that there is more of a supernatural mystery that Danvers and Navarro got themselves into. Of course, though, it could have been more psychological given the pollution from the town and how it caused people to have hallucinations. That is probably another explanation as well, or maybe it was a combination of both. Perhaps it was both psychological and supernatural, and they coexisted in this mystery in this very unique world for True Detective, Night Country. I think it was probably more supernatural, though, that's my interpretation of it, but it could have been some psychological elements at play as well, but I think supernatural, from my interpretation, was more involved. Here's why. Navarro had those visions, she had more of a supernatural side to her, and Danvers was a skeptic, but Danvers had her own incidents as well, with the one-eyed polar bear seeing her son below the ice, and that vision from many years ago, which is probably an accident that led to her son being killed. That could have been Danvers hallucinating, but I think it's more her seeing a supernatural vision in this season based on those occurrences that she had with seeing the one-eyed polar bear and also that vision she had in the finale. Here's the thing though, just like the beer pairing for this episode and for the finale True Detective, there definitely could have been some trickery at play with this mystery to mislead us viewers and also probably delve deeper into the mystery as it unfolded, but also some trickery could have been at play as well. So for my interpretation of this, I definitely do believe there's more of a supernatural mystery that also had more of a psychological vibe as well, with supernatural playing out as a majority. For another observation in the finale that involves Pete, is Pete forever in debt to Danvers for the rest of his life because he killed Hank and also helped cover up the bodies of Hank and Otis and also practically helped Danvers engage in a cover-up in order to cover up a crime against Hank, even though Hank was also a really bad guy. Does that mean Pete is be forever in debt to Danvers for his entire career? Probably no. He's not a bad guy. He's not in some kind of eternal hell here based on what he did. He pretty much had to do what he had to do because if Pete did not fire that gun on Hank, he would have killed Danvers and that would have made the situation a whole lot worse and probably would have ended the entire case. Because Danvers and Navarro need each other to solve this case, and they both had to survive. So Pete, in my view, was placed in a rather crappy no-win situation. Still though, he's got a better family life now, he's still with the department, he seemed more submissive in the final scene, but also still has his career as a cop, and probably does have a brighter future ahead of him. So I definitely don't think that he's in debt to Danvers for what he did, although he had to engage in some rather unethical behavior and violate his own principles in order to help save the day and get the case solved. Now for the big question that it is, where did Navarro go at the finale? That's also open-ended, but I have my own theory on that is, and I think Navarro went to be with her sister on the other side. We saw Navarro walking out into the Alaskan wilderness when the sun came out towards a very unknown future, as it was clear she was done being a cop after experiences that she had with Danvers on his really complex case. So I think Navarro is sadly no longer with us, but is also still with Danvers in spirit. I think at the ending and that finale, with Danvers looking out on the porch over that lake, and with Navarro right next to her, but actually rather farther away, and there was that wall dividing them, I think that there was a symbol for Navarro being in the afterlife, but still being able to visit Danvers in the real world, and only Danvers can see Navarro. For me, that there's my main theory for how Navarro's storyline ended at the end of the season, because I definitely do believe she's in a better place. I think throughout the entire season, Navarro was being called away to join her loved ones in the afterlife, and I think that there was her destiny all along. And I think at the end, after the case was closed and everything was in order, Navarro made her final step to join her sister in the great beyond, and I think that there is where Navarro went at the end, but also visits Danvers, just like what we saw at the end of the finale. Of course, Danvers is always a skeptic about the paranormal, and she also probably did not believe in an afterlife, but I think at the end, all those viewpoints changed. Danvers is more at peace at the end in the finale, when she's being questioned by internal affairs about what happened to Hank. She seemed more at rest, and also more at peace. And also, she's also in better terms now with Leia as well, as you saw in the final moments of the episode. And at the end, where she's at the house overlooking the lake, in peace and tranquility, Navarro is there, either physically or in spirit, and I think Navarro is there in spirit. Both Danvers and Navarro found peace at the end. They're both in a better place, whether on Earth or in the afterlife, and I think they both found what they're looking for at the end, and that there was a find a better life for themselves, regardless on where that is. So I love how the season ended. I think it had a great ending. The mystery is really good, and also came to a nice resolution. At first, I thought it was going to have a very dark ending to it, and end badly for Navarro and Danvers, and probably even Pete as well, but it ended good for everybody when you look at it. For a season that was surrounded in darkness, and also nighttime, and also with a depressing atmosphere, this mystery came to a really nice, optimistic conclusion. For Danvers, she became more likable at the end. For most of the season, she wasn't really likable, and also despite being a good cop, she really rubbed people the wrong way. But at the end, Danvers was a completely different person, and for Navarro, she was driven to solve the case, and she got Danvers on board, and Danvers and Navarro worked well together to solve a complex murder mystery in a hostile environment in one of the most remote regions on Earth. It definitely wasn't easy, but they came out on top, and in the end, solved the complex mystery, and also transformed themselves into better people at the end. And also, the acting was well done. Jodie Foster and Kylie Reyes did a great job of portraying Danvers and Navarro into well-convincing TV detectives that I'll forever love and I'll miss the dynamic duo of Danvers and Navarro. So that being said, that is where I'll leave it. And that should do it for me in this episode of Bristilled. Please do tell your friends and family about this podcast, and please rate this podcast on your desired podcast directory. Please stay tuned for recaps of the next TV show I'll be recapping here on the Bristilled Podcast, including guest interviews, craft beer content, NFL coverage, and other topics of interest. Please check out this podcast over on Instagram at Bristilled Podcast over on Instagram. Also, please do enjoy this good beer, bourbon, whiskey on this winter season. I'm your host, Brandon. Thank you for joining me, and until next time. And until then, be brewed and be distilled, folks. Cheers.